Good morning, Texas Tech. I'm Joshua Cook on a special edition of Good Morning, Texas Tech. We address the bombings in Boston that happened on Monday. We're going to be joined by special guests, special interviews, and much, much more throughout the first half of the show.
And during the second half of the show, we will be talking to all kinds of people from Texas Tech about freshmen and how to get involved, how to get plugged in, what to do when you get here. I'm Kiara Powell.
That's right. We're going to have Amy Bafford on how to get a job and where to look. We're also going to have Mentor Tech and Pegasus in here. So more on that later. But right now, here's Kiara Powell with news. I'm Kevin Wade.
Good morning, I'm Kiara Powell with your KTXT News Update. The FBI has revealed that one of the bombs that exploded Monday during the Boston Marathon contained a pressure cooker device. The bombs are being sent back to a lab in Quantico, Virginia, where they will be reconstructed to determine their makeup and components. So far, there have been no new claims of responsibility for the attack that killed three and injured more than 170 others. Tech's College of Media and Communication continues its Global Lens Film Initiative this Thursday with a screening of Shamal Uncle Turns Off the Lights. The Indian film is about an elderly gentleman who fights an uphill battle to stop his city from wasting money and electricity by burning streetlights during the day. The screening takes place at 8 o'clock this Thursday in room 83 of the MassCom building. Texas Tech's Forensic Union ended its season with two big wins. The group took home trophies from two national championship tournaments. The team placed fifth in the country and ranked within the top 10 of the country for its season-long performance. Team members read current events and wrote evidentiary briefs to prepare for the competition. Students receive the debate topics 15 minutes prior to the start time and are given just another 15 minutes to prepare. Here's Cutter Martin with a look at our weather.
Warm temperatures this afternoon, very spring-like, partly cloudy skies. It is gusty out there, though, 35-mile-per-hour gusts, actually likely creating some areas of blowing dust through the evening as winds only slowly diminish. Strong cold front enters the picture later tonight, bringing much colder weather down into the lower and middle 30s tonight and Thursday morning, along with even windier conditions, making those wind chills feel more like the teens and 20s when you head out the door. Grab those coats. Thursday looks cold. For KTXT Weather, I'm Cutter Martin.
Welcome back into Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone. Wednesday morning, April 17th in beautiful Lubbock, Texas. Joshua Cook alongside Kiara Powell, Kevin Wade, Julie Fisher across the way pushing all the buttons for us. And, of course, the hearts and minds of the entire country this morning are still in Boston, Massachusetts, as on Monday afternoon about 2:50 p.m., the world was rocked by two bombs at the Boston Marathon, an event that's always been known for, you know, celebrating Boston, celebrating Patriots Day. You know, they always have a Red Sox game earlier in the day. Then everyone goes out to the Boston Marathon, and all that was shattered with two bomb blasts in the afternoon, 15 seconds apart and by the finish line. And at this moment, this morning, three dead, 183 injured. 100 of the 183 have been released from the hospital, and more information has come out this morning on the actual bombs themselves, on how they were manufactured and put together.
Yeah, they're actually made by made with a pressure cooker, like Kira said earlier. But now they've actually found the lid of one of those pressure cookers on a roof near the explosions. And they said they also found a shredded black backpack that they think that the pressure cooker was put in, the bomb was put in, and it was full of nails, BBs, and ball bearings is what they think it was. But the FBI has taken that, and they're gonna see what they can do. The second bomb, they think they found shrapnel from the second bomb also. It was also in some sort of metal container, but as of yet, we don't know if it was also made out of a pressure cooker.
And pictures were released to the media yesterday that actually a spectator had taken, because this is one of the biggest covered sporting events in that area at the time. And there's tons of pictures, the marathon winner, and then people taking pictures of their loved ones running in the marathon. Well, a picture was released yesterday to the media that actually shows may a few hours before, may minutes before the bomb exploded, a actual bag sitting next to a trash can, and then a picture was taken seconds after the bomb had exploded, and there was no bag there anymore. And what you're suspecting is that that was the bomb that blew up along the road. And of course, they did take a 20-year-old Saudi man into custody. He's been released as of Monday evening, but there are new video of, you know, people, a suspect running away from the scene. But at the same time, you know, it's one of those things when a bomb blows up, you know, you're going to run away. You're not going to run towards. So this is probably the hardest crime scene they've ever had to attempt to cover, because the fact is there are so many people that were running away. And we now have a montage to kind of flash back to Monday afternoon at the Boston Marathon.
And we've just gotten word of not one but two explosions near the finish line of the Boston Marathon. These are live pictures coming into us now, I assume from Fox News Boston and Fox 26 up there, but it just popped up, and it just happened while we were discussing this.
So we're just going to go back now to that evolving situation in Boston, in the United States tonight, off the Boston Marathon. The explosions thought to have come from an area inside a hotel.
So we do want to just bring you up to speed. What you're looking at is video from earlier, about 20, 25 minutes ago, at the scene of the finish line of the Boston Marathon. All of our producers and WBZ staff on the scene reporting to us two consecutive explosions.
We're continuing to monitor and respond to the situation as it unfolds. I directed the full resources of the federal government to help state and local authorities protect our people. But I just want to reiterate, we will find out who did this, and we will hold them accountable. Thank you very much.
Going back into Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone, as you just heard, a very, very chilling montage there of the events in Boston. As you, Kevin, as you heard at the end of President Barack Obama's initial speech, the media was asking, "Is this a terrorist attack? Is this a terrorist attack?" And he wouldn't say at the time. Now, granted, after many hours, they did come out and say, yes, this was an act of terror on the United States. Now, if they know if it's domestic or foreign as of yet, they do not know. And that's really the question, because no one's taken responsibility as of this morning for these attacks on the Boston Marathon.
Well, I mean, and that's the fear, Josh. It's such a chilling thing, like you said, and like we don't know whether it was somebody, you know, somebody foreign or someone from here in our own country with the attacks that have been happening, you know, in the past year from people, you know, even in our own country. It's kind of hard to say, and I guess we won't know until we figure out who made these bombs. But something else did come out about the make of the bombs, was that they were made with lower grade non-military explosives. So it seems like whoever made the bombs did not have access to the higher grade, more deadly military stuff. Mm-hmm. But they did know how to make it explode.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They got the timers to go off, and there was a rumor that there were more bombs that had not gone off, and that rumor was snubbed out, saying there had not been any more bombs that had not gone off. Also, one rumor that came out initially was at the JFK library that a bomb had gone off. That was then ruled a mechanical fire. So, you know, it was one of those things that all of a sudden a storm on Twitter happened, a storm on Facebook happened, and reports were flying through the window on trying to figure out what was going on at the Boston Marathon. And is a very, very scary situation, especially for anyone there. And it's just one of those things that as a country, we all grew up, you know, I remember being in the fifth grade, having 9/11 happen, and it's just one of those things that now this is more real for us, and we've grown up in this era of terror as a country and as a youth. And I don't know for you, Kevin, if it's the same as yesterday when, or Monday when I saw the footage of the bombs going off. It was just very scary.
Yeah, it's similar. I mean, I remember exactly where I was back in 9/11. And I feel like this is a similar thing where I'm going to remember, you know, exactly where I was. And I think everyone will also when these bombs went off in Boston.
All right. I got the opportunity to talk to a gentleman in Boston yesterday on Monday afternoon. Clark Eckhoff is the owner of a baseball team up there, a baseball team part of the NECBL, which is a collegiate baseball league. And this is his thoughts on the bombings in Boston on Monday afternoon. Joined by Clark Eckhoff, a baseball team owner up in Massachusetts. Clark, you were telling me earlier that you were actually planning on going to a Red Sox game today and going to the Boston Marathon, but some meetings got in the way with the events that happened today. Is it kind of surreal that you ended up not going?
Very much so. Like I'd earlier mentioned to you, Ben Zobrist is a player that had played for one of my teams back about in the 2003 time frame, so had an opportunity to go up to that game today, and being from, you know, not from Massachusetts originally, it would have been my first opportunity to attend the Boston Marathon and go to the Red Sox and Rays game, but you know, things happen for a reason, and certain things happen at work where I didn't have the opportunity to get out of Springfield and get up that way. It just really makes you think of what could be, and really, surreal is a great word. Unfortunately, sympathies reach out to all the people that have been affected by this tragedy.
I know you've only been around the Massachusetts area for the last few months, and you've gotten some friends up there. What has been the reaction from the people that you've gotten to know in the area up there to this tragedy today?
It's almost to the point of everybody's very, very obviously relating it back to 9/11. Obviously, we know what kind of impact emotionally that had on the country, and people still at this point in time are almost, hard for them to believe that it could happen in Boston, or here we go again, 12 years later. So it's definitely made our country and our world feel a little bit less safe.
Does an event like this, and I know, you know, it's pretty fresh on our minds and we're still seeing the images come out, but does an event like this kind of deter you away from, you know, going to these big events like a Boston Marathon, like a Red Sox game, because, you know, now they've kind of shown that they can, you know, someone can have an attack at an event like this?
Well, and you always ask why, but you think obviously the impact could be a lot greater. Especially when you look at what potentially could happen, let's say, where the Cowboys play. You look at that stadium. I had an opportunity to tour that facility 4 months ago, but there you potentially could be harming over 100,000 people, and there doesn't seem to be really a venue or maybe an event that maybe, you know, anything could be touched and maybe isn't safe, and that does have to affect all of us.
I guess from the people when it started happening, when the news started coming out, what was the reaction of the people, you know, text messages coming in, phone calls coming in, checking on you checking on other people? What was that time period like?
I had a flashback to where I was on 9/11, 2000, and 2001 is what I had. Flashback of where I was sitting, what the day was like, the position of the sun, my life, the ages of my children. I remember going to get my two daughters who were both in college and picking them up at an elementary school because nobody really knew what was happening. And that was the first flashback emotion that hit me and brought those feelings back. Hard to explain, but that's definitely, and your heartfelt sympathies knowing the images of what happened in New York and potentially what could be also happening again in Boston. You know, very scary.
All right. Well, we appreciate the time, and thank goodness that you're okay and your family's okay this afternoon.
Well, I appreciate that, Josh. And like I said, like our best wishes to everybody in the Boston area, and obviously a lot of our interns and the college students that work for the Blue Sox. Really, our condolences to some of those people, because their families, a lot of them are from the Boston metro area.
All right, big thanks to Clark Eckhoff on joining me on the phone the other afternoon. Now we are actually joined in studio by Dr. Paul Perret, professor in the chemistry and biochemistry department, who is actually running in the Boston Marathon when this all happened. Had finished about 10 minutes beforehand, was in a holding tent when the incident happened. Dr. Perret, thank you so much for joining us on kind of short notice, getting back into town last night.
Thanks for having me.
Give us, I guess, from your perspective, give us your story of what happened Monday afternoon in Boston.
Okay. I was just finishing up. I finished up the marathon, crossed the finish line. Lots of people, they had these grandstands that were full of people. I had gone about 10 minutes out. I was just about to exit the secure area where the runners are. And we heard a bomb, heard an explosion, and then a few seconds later, a second explosion, and they decided to close down the exit area to get out of the secure zone. And none of us knew what was going on. We all started to feel this anxiety, and I was right there at the exit zone, and I said to the guy, why are you going to hold us secure here? We don't know whether, if there's an incident, whether it's occurred in the running section or outside the running section. So he said, okay. He opened up the gate. We then left. We were then very close to the area where you meet up with your family members alphabetically. So they have these signs for each letter of the alphabet. And I stood there for maybe 20 minutes waiting for my friend who was going to pick me up. At that point, it started to get cold and windy, and we started talking among ourselves. We were concerned, but really didn't know what was going on. There was a area where they had these cell phones set up where you could call people to meet up with your family members, and those cell phones were not functioning, which, again, kind of raised the anxiety level. And it turned out the friend that was going to meet me, he was stuck in another area that they had kind of quarantined off. And then within a few minutes, we started to hear these ambulance and sirens, and we realized that probably there was something serious going on. So we just waited there, and there was certainly a level of anxiety, but there wasn't a panic among people. So then I went home to the hotel, and we stayed in the hotel for a while. They mentioned that there were these other incendiary devices that they thought might be present in other parts of the city. And then we, that night we went out, and as I mentioned before, it was a very kind of concerned situation because the city was absolutely kind of dead. There weren't a lot of pedestrians out, and there were a lot of police cars out, and they had the incident at a library down the street from us, and so there was concern about that.
Well, it's definitely a whole lot of confusion going on about there. And I mean, like, when you figured out that this was a bombing, that bombs had gone off, and that people had been injured, what were your thoughts there? Because you said you didn't really know right off the bat.
Well, to be honest, I think if this thing had gone off at the beginning, there would have been absolute pandemonium. But the fact that it was at the end of the marathon, you have a lot of people that are really pretty exhausted. And the crowd themselves is so enthusiastic during the marathon that by the time the bomb went off, a little after 4 hours. So people were kind of spent from 3 hours of cheering and the runners of you know, over 3 hours of running. So I think there was a muted response, and people were much more concerned about just getting together with their family. And you could see when people got together, there was a real kind of, thank goodness you're here. So that was a more than kind of a panic situation.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Kier.
With something like this, does this affect your the possibility of you running any more marathons, do you think?
Well, I mean, the marathon's tough, so I kind of have to get up a lot of energy to decide to do another marathon. In terms of this bombing, I think of marathon runners as being unusual in that they are, you know, really in for the long run. And so the idea of being stopped because of something like this, I doubt that marathon runners are going to stop running marathons or participating because of an event like this.
With once you got back to the hotel and saw the tragedy, I mean, it went from a celebratory day, you know, this is a big day in Boston, Patriots Day, everyone's out, they go to the Red Sox game, they go to the Boston Marathon, and then in the matter of seconds, it turned almost into a war zone. Like you mentioned, the streets were empty, there was ambulances going up and down the street. What was that like living, kind of going through that day of emotions of seeing the marathon, running in the marathon, finish the marathon, and then all of a sudden everything changed?
I would say the minute we heard that bomb, that we didn't even know it was a bomb, but we heard this explosion, that you just knew there was something very serious. It kind of changed the whole event. I mean, we get back to the hotel and they have security, you know, and we need to check in, and there's a line in which you have to go through in order to get into the hotel. And people were not going out on the streets. I mean, we went out. I got back. I laid down for a couple of hours. Then I was hungry. I wanted to go out and get something to eat. And I went down to the concierge, and they said, "Oh, many of the restaurants are closed." So we kind of had to hunt around for a place that we could simply get food.
All right. Well, Dr. Perry, we appreciate the time. We appreciate you coming in. I know it's kind of a fresh event on everyone's minds right now. We're glad you're okay and you weren't injured in this event. Of course, our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone in the Boston area. We're now going to toss it to an interview with Wesley Lavelli. He's a student at UMass, which is about 90 miles away from Boston. His thoughts on the attacks in Boston. And once again, thank you, Dr. Perry.
Thank you.
I know you're about 90 miles away from Boston. What was the reaction today when the news started leaking out about the explosions at the Boston Marathon?
Oh, well, I mean, it was pretty big. I mean, just watching, like, I'm having the day off from school. So between doing getting ready for finals and getting projects done, checking my social media, and really just the amount of social media explosion that happened. I know, like, a lot of my friends actually went out to go watch the event. Looking like, as far as I know, all the ones that went are okay. So, I mean, that's good to see.
I guess it was Patriots Day there in Massachusetts Day, so everything was shut down. I mean, was this a shock to you as a student, knowing that your friends were there and people you knew were there from the area?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, first thing that's going through my mind is just going back to Sandy Hook a few months back and just thinking about how much the world's really changed ever since 9/11, just my perspective on seeing society, and then seeing how many of my friends are from the area, concerned about their families. And I mean, I even checked in with a few of my business contact emails earlier to some of my connections in Boston, just to make sure they're all good. And I guess just thankful that I'm 90 miles away at the end of the day, and, you know, at least know I don't have any family out there.
You mentioned being 90 miles away. Even though, you know, you're only 90 miles away, it's a lot different for you up there than it is for us, you know, down here in Texas, being further away. How did this impact your school, the students that were around, the faculty? Did this impact y'all at all today, just the awareness?
I think it's really hit home with a lot of people, just knowing that a lot of our student body does come from the Boston area. I know the school hasn't sent an official email out yet, so just waiting on that.
Any final thoughts on the tragedy in Boston today?
Really terrible, and just another one of those incidents in society where people are trying to, I guess, get attention and do something wrong just to get newsworthy for a little bit. It's just absolutely mind-boggling. After all, past few weeks, it's all been North Korea, and nuclear bombs and worrying about that. And then next thing you know, on the home front, you get an incident like this, and it really makes you wonder how many people really are out there that are willing to do this type of stuff on the home front. And, you know, just thoughts and prayers.
Welcome back into Good Morning Texas Tech. Big thanks to Wesley Lavelli for joining us, a student at UMass, talking about the bombings in Boston. Of course, the fluid coverage of this event will continue over the next few days and weeks as people in the country tries to figure out who did this and who to blame for these attacks. But now, shifting gears over towards a bit of a lighter topic. We're now joined by Sean Dugan, who is the director of University Student Housing. Good morning, Mr. Dugan. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Tell us a little bit about University Housing. Y'all have had some new buildings go up recently, including Boston Hall. What's that like, seeing new buildings and plans for new buildings coming out?
Well, it's very exciting. It's a lot of work to get all those buildings done. And Boston Hall is now named Talkington Hall.
Okay.
And so we've got a formal name for that building, and we are working on a new facility to be open for the fall of 2014. So it's great to be a part of the growth of Texas Tech. We think students living on campus make Texas Tech dynamic and feel like a campus of academics and a lot of learning going on. And we want to do our part to help students be successful academically by helping them be close to their classes and all the offerings of Tech.
Where's that new dorm going to be going up at?
It's going to be west of the law school. So it'll be across the street from Indiana, right in the field south of the trees that are in that large open field.
I know what you're talking about. That's very exciting. Will that be an upper-level dorm as well?
Yes, we are gearing that towards upper-class students. And a very interesting thing that we're doing is we're going to be developing about 150 beds in one-bedroom and two-bedroom apartments geared towards graduate students. And so we're hoping to be able to provide something on campus for graduate students, because growth of the graduate population is very important to the growth of Tech.
And that's very cool. That's something that we really haven't had here, is housing dedicated specifically to graduate students.
Correct. And these will be full apartments, so full kitchen with laundry in the unit. And we think the convenience and the location, especially for law students right across from the law school, but then also HSC, you know, right down the street as well. And then just general graduate students that want to be close to the campus, might not have a car. Those kinds of things.
Now, I know in certain residence halls, there are learning communities. Like, there's one for the College of Media and Communication, one for the engineering. Can you tell us if there's a freshman listening, or if there is a incoming student listening, where should they look to find out what hall to be in a learning community?
Great. All of that information is available on our website, housing.ttu.edu, and students can find descriptions of the learning communities, where they're located. We have 17 of them, and they're growing every year. This fall, we're rolling out our business learning community with the completion of the new business school over at Murray Hall, which is right there by the business school. We've worked with the business college to get a learning community, and it's full and ready to go. So students are excited to be able to live so close to their academics, but then also live with other business majors. So that's just an example of one of our learning communities.
All right. Well, we appreciate the time. We've been talking with Sean Dugan, the managing director of University Student Housing, here on Good Morning Texas Tech. Thank you so much.
You bet. Have a great day.
All right, we'll be back right after this on KTXT The Raider 88.1 and TheRaider881.com. With your KTXT Sports Update, I'm Joshua Cook. Texas Tech baseball losing to Rice last night over in Houston, 5-1. The Red Raiders have now dropped 7 straight games this season. In the bigger sporting world, the Boston Red Sox back on the field last night, taking on the Cleveland Indians. Boston emotional win, winning 7-2 in Cleveland. The New York Yankees beating the Arizona Diamondbacks 4-2, playing Sweet Caroline after the third inning in remembrance of the fallen and the Boston Marathon. Hall of Fame broadcaster Pat Summerall dies at 82. Summerall was on Monday Night Football for the longest time with John Madden. Lakers prepare for the Rockets as the playoffs are on the line. If the Lakers win tonight, they are in. If they lose, they have a chance of being out if the Utah Jazz pull off a victory. Also in Major League Baseball, the Texas Rangers were in action last night, beating the Chicago Cubs 4-2 in Chicago. Houston falling to Oakland 4-3. And the Atlanta Braves' hot start continues. Their win streak is up to 10. The Braves hit 5 home runs last night in last night's game. Well, that does it for your KTXT Sports Update. I'm Joshua Cook. Now back to Good Morning Texas Tech. Welcome back to Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone. Josh Cook alongside Kevin Wade, Kira Powell across the way, as we are now joined by Amy Bafford from University Career Center. She's the Associate Director of Hospitality and Tourism, Career Representative, and Honors College Career Representative. That's a long title, but do a lot here at Texas Tech. Thank you so much for joining us this morning in studio.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for having me.
First of all, tell us a little about the University Career Center and what y'all do over there for the students.
That's a great question. Well, we are on campus to serve all students of all majors and all classifications. So whether you are a freshman, a sophomore, all the way up to a graduate student, even alumni, we can provide services to help prepare you for your career path.
What are some of the biggest mistakes you see students make when it comes to looking for a job or trying to get one?
Well, I think the biggest mistake we see is students not even looking for a job or not preparing themselves to get one. It's very, very important even to start right off the bat as a freshman to start preparing yourself for your field.
And what are some of the ways that students can do that?
Through the University Career Center, we have a 4-year plan. It can actually be found on our website at careercenter.ttu.edu. And basically, just starting out, getting involved on campus, and then looking for internships, part-time jobs, and opportunities like that to prepare.
And what are some of the other services that Student Business Services offers to students who maybe don't know how to even start looking for a job, an internship, maybe they're about to go out into the world? What does the Student Business Services offer?
Well, in the University Career Center, we really can, even if they are seniors just about to graduate, we can do mock interviews, one-on-one or panel mock interviews. We can sit down and look at the resume and help students put together a good resume or cover letter. And actually on our website, which I mentioned earlier, there are many, many resources, for example, career assessments or a job resources page, to find lots of tips on how to learn about your interests, prepare yourself, and get all those documents in order.
Now, I know with resumes and cover letters, there's things to do and there's definitely things not to do. If you could give us a quick, maybe your top 3 things not to do on a resume, if you at least want your resume not to be end up at the bottom of a wastebasket.
Okay. Well, there are definitely ways to make your resume more competitive. I would say one thing is don't put any personal information, age, height, photograph, family demographics, anything like that. Another tip is make sure it's organized in a very readable format and that you have your most important information organized toward the top of the resume. And another big no-no is going to be typos or any unprofessional information like your email address and things like that.
Now, say you're lucky enough to get a call back and they call you in. What are some of the buzzwords you're going to want to use during that interview to help you secure that job or make you look more hireable?
Right. Buzzwords and keywords are so important. It really is going to depend on the field. So the biggest advice I can give to students and alumni is to just go and do research on the company and on your field. Know what you are getting into. Know what the mission statement, the goals, and the different programs are at that company. And just pull off of that. Use those words in your conversation, in your resume, in your cover letter, anything like that.
Now, one of the stumbling blocks for me always in interviews is when they stop and ask you if you have any questions. What would be an appropriate response to that? Because I never can think of one on the spot.
Well, definitely. You always, always want to have questions. That can actually be a big tiebreaker between two great candidates. One has questions, one doesn't. I would say a good place to start is focusing on the job itself and the company. You want to show your interest by asking questions about, what are the greatest programs, the goals of this company? How can I assist with those? Another favorite is, can you tell me what a day on the job looks like? So at this point, you're really focusing in on that piece and avoiding salary, benefits, and anything that might look like you really just care more about that than the job. Those can be saved for the end. You can even ask the interviewer questions about him or herself a little bit. You know, why do you like working here?
Gotcha. When you're showing up, what would you say is best way to be dressed when showing up for those interviews?
Well, the default answer is as professional as possible. When in doubt, wear a suit. Do your research before you go in, though, because there are a few fields and a few companies that are going to have a very different standard. And if you wear a suit, you might be discounted. Still, the safest best bet is going to be that three-piece suit.
I think sometimes the biggest, for me at least, because I'm graduating here in a month and sending out applications, and the biggest question for me sometimes is, what do you put in a cover letter? What do you not put in a cover letter? How do you format it? Because it's one of those things that you're kind of like, well, I don't want this cover letter to get my whole application thrown away, even because they're not going to look at my resume if they don't like it.
I would recommend first starting with the mindset that less is more on the cover letter. If you're too wordy, they probably won't even read it. So short and sweet, but typically it's three, maybe four paragraphs. The beginning is what you're applying for, why you want to work for them. In the middle of the paragraph, you want to share a little bit about your top qualities or skills, your related experience, and maybe share a quick story about that. And then in the end, you're concluding by reiterating what the letter's about, asking for an interview, and thanking them very much for their time. And then all of it's done in that business format.
Now, when you guys are hiring over at the Career Center, what qualities are you looking for in people?
Well, that's a very good question. And we do hire student assistants on occasion, and we also hire full-time staff to help students. So we're definitely looking for people who are team players and who communicate professionally. I would say that's at the top of all employers' lists. And then in addition to that, we're looking for people who are good writers because we are helping students write these professional documents. And then also having the passion and the competency for helping students succeed.
That's very interesting that you said that about the writing. My roommate is a high school English teacher, and everyone always argues with her about the need to be able to write well, and they keep telling her, it's not necessary, we don't have to do this, we won't need this in our real job.
Mm-hmm.
With interviews these days now, sometimes it's a little different. A lot of them aren't face-to-face anymore, but with the interviews now, you know, there's Skype and there's phone calls and everything. How should a student approach a phone interview / Skype interview?
Well, good question. And those can be feel a little bit different than the face-to-face interview. Overall, you want to keep in mind that they are all a conversation between two people. But practice first. Practice over the phone. Practice with Skype. You want to make sure you're comfortable with that medium. Biggest thing is going to be on the phone, put a big smile on your voice. dress professionally even though they can't see you, because that will make you feel more professional. With Skype, one thing that I actually learned was to look into the camera rather than looking into the eyes of the person on the screen, because on the other end, that will actually look like you're looking them in the eye rather than looking down at the keyboard.
All right. Well, we appreciate the time, and you can definitely visit the website of the Texas Tech University Career Center. We've been talking with Amy Bafford, the Associate Director of Hospitality and Tourism Career Representative and Honors College Career Representative here at Texas Tech. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
More Good Morning Texas Tech coming up after the break on KTXT, the Raider 88.1 and the Raider88.1.com. No.
Politics.
No campaigning of any kind may take place in the offices of the Student Government Association.
Rhetoric.
They really don't know how detrimental secondhand smoke is to non-smokers.
Policy.
The bus stops will stop as they stop on a regular route for schools.
Tune in to Student Government Association meetings every first and third Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. on 88.1 The Raider.
Spring severe weather season is quickly approaching. When the skies go dark, know when to go, where to go, and how to keep yourself safe during severe and hazardous weather by listening to KTXCFM's accurate and dependable severe weather updates. Follow us on Twitter at TheRaider881, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheRaider881, or listen to us on air at 88.1 KTXCFM. We will help you weather the storm.
What are you going to do? Just throw your life away like it was nothing?
I'm not going there to die. I'm going to find out if I'm really alive.
Sounds of Cinema, Mondays at 4 p.m.
Never seen a blue sky. Yeah, I can feel it reaching out and moving closer.
Baby, bye, bye, bye. Tune in for Flashback Fridays here on the Raider 88.1.
All the things that I used to say, all the words that got in the way.
Handpicked songs from the 90s and early 2000s.
So don't you make, act now.
Playing our generation's version of the oldies but goodies every Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. on the Raider 88.1 KTXT FM Lubbock.
I can't wait till I get you on the floor, good looking.
Welcome you back into Good Morning Texas Tech. You can join the conversation on Twitter at TheRaider881 or search us on Facebook. Search for TheRaider881, and also you can visit our website and listen to our online stream by going to ktxtfm.org. So, we are now joined in studio by Corey Powell, the Director of Mentor Tech. Good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
First off, tell us about Mentor Tech and what you all do over there for Texas Tech.
Well, Mentor Tech is a program, a mentoring program that pairs faculty and staff members with students, also graduate students, and the purpose is to assist students in their adjustment to the university. We're in our 11th year. The official name of the program is the Lauro Cavazos and Ophelia Powell Malone Mentoring Program. Lauro Cavazos was the first alumnus of Tech to become president of the university. He also was the first Hispanic individual to serve in a U.S. presidential cabinet. He served as Secretary of Education under President Reagan and then President George H. Bush. And then Ophelia Powell Malone was the first African-American to graduate from Tech, and she graduated in 1964 with a degree from the College of Human Sciences.
Now, tell us how Mentor Tech kind of came to be.
Well, basically, it was a conversation between myself and Felicia Martin, who currently is an assistant athletic director over the Sharp Athletic Academic Support Center. And she and I were having a conversation about things that we wish we knew when we first came to Tech, and things that, you know, how different it was. I'm from San Antonio. She's from Mississippi. We were having a conversation about those, you know, just those nuances of transition. And we thought, man, it would be nice if when you first got here, someone was here to kind of take you by the hand and help you learn the ropes. And in the process, I thought, wow, if we feel like that and we're paid to be here, what about the students who are paying to be here? So we started the program out with 46 students and 100 mentors. And currently this year, we had the largest group ever. We had over 404 people sign up to participate in Mentor Tech as students, and then over 217 mentors. So the program is much, much larger now.
So what does that mentorship relationship look like between the students and the mentors that you pair up?
It kind of depends on the individuals. We give our participants the freedom to create what that looks like. Some of our students come in and they want specifically an academic relationship, and so that's what they have. Some of them have the academics down and they're looking for the cultural aspect, and we allow them to give us some insight on what they want. And then, of course, there are those who are really just wanting the social part, to feel connected. Because if you come from if you're a student coming from Whiteface, Texas, it can be a shock coming to Lubbock, as if you were moved from Lubbock and went to New York City. And so just whatever that transition looks like for them, we want them to know that there's someone on the campus who has their best interests in mind, who is there to support them. We have a number of workshops this academic year. We have offered over 40 academic workshops. We partner with entities such as the Career Center, who was just on. We partner with the Writing Center. We partner with the Counseling Center, different entities where we bring in and let the students know what's available to assist them in their transition. And so they have the academic events, and we also have social events. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had over 400 people out in Urbanowski Park for our annual picnic. So, and we have a really big thing coming up, if I could share with you guys. We have our annual celebration banquet. It is our fundraiser for scholarships. To date, we have awarded over $88,000 in students scholarships.
Wow.
We have this year, very, very excited to announce that we have Academy Award nominated actress Taraji P. Henson will be our speaker. Taraji is currently on the CBS show Person of Interest. She also was in Think Like a Man. She was the mother in Curious Case of Benjamin Button. She's been in Jaden Smith's mother in Karate Kid. So she's going to be here with us, and that's on May 3rd in the Civic Center, and we're excited about that.
Now, what will she be speaking on?
Well, basically, she'll talk about the value of mentorship from her own experience and perseverance. So we use that event is a motivational event for our students to kind of inspire them and get them excited about things that are, you know, what's ahead of them, but also to let them know that everyone has a different journey, and that, you know, it doesn't matter where you start. You know, it's real interesting. She actually started out as a mechanical engineer. And,
oh, my goodness.
Realized that was not for her.
That's a very different change.
Exactly. And then she went home and her father told her, basically, hey, do what you really are passionate about. So that's what we try to do with Mentor Tech, is help students find their passion.
All right. If anyone wants to get involved with Mentor Tech, how do they do that?
They can just go to our website, mentortech.ttu.edu, or they can give us a call at our office at 742-8687, or they can just hit us at mentor@ttu.edu.
How do you guys select the students that are able to get into the program?
It's open to any student. It's not, you don't have to have a specific ethnicity or gender. Mostly we target students in their first year, but after that, you know, once you're in, you can stay in. We have students in grad school, we have students in the medical school, we have students in the law school. So students hear some word of mouth and come to us.
Hmm. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me.
I can't get enough of you, baby.
Tune in for Flashback Fridays here on the Raider 88.1.
All the things that I used to say, all the words that got in the way.
Handpicked songs from the 90s and early 2000s.
So don't delay.
Playing our generation's version of the oldies but goodies every Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. on the Raider 88.1 KTXT FM Lubbock.
Hi, I'm Cutter Martin, bringing you quick, accurate, and dependable weather updates right here on KTXT FM. Follow us on Twitter at TheRaider881. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheRaider881. Or listen to us on air at 88.1 KTXCFM. KTXCFM is a service of Texas Tech's College of Media and Communication. Here comes the sun.
Here comes the sun. 1 hour of news and analysis of the big global stories of the day.
Our top story takes us to Iran.
We go first to the U.S. state of Colorado in the first...
This is News Hour with Owen Bennett-Jones, and coming up in...
News Hour's Lise Doucette sent this report from the...
We'll be finding out what this means for people in the Arab world's most populous...
1 hour of your day, and one of the most informative. News Hour, daily from the BBC.
The BBC World Service, weekday mornings from 5 to 9, here on The Raider, 88.1.
Let's get together, yeah!
Take a break from the daily grind.
Let's be friends.
Log on and like us on Facebook.
I like it!
The Raider 88.1 will supply your feed with all the Red Raider news, photos, and videos you could ever want.
I know we can do great things. Together.
Comment on our page and give us your feedback at facebook.com/TheRaider88.1.
You can do it!
And keep listening to KTXT FM Lubbock. Together!
Welcome back into Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone. Joshua Cook alongside Kevin Wade, who's drumming it up on the air drums this morning.
I like this song,
studios.
Josh. It's fun. It wakes me up in the morning. That's how I stay awake.
Kira Powell Crossway, big, big, big thanks to Julie Fisher over in the control room, punching all the buttons to make us sound absolutely awesome this morning. We want to go through our cavalcade of guests that we've had. Big thanks to Dr. Paul Perry, who is a runner in the Boston Marathon, for joining us in studio. Also, big thanks to Sean Dugan, the Managing Director of University Student Housing. Big thanks to Amy Baffer, the Associate Director of Hospitality and Tourism Career Representative and Honors College Career Representative. And also, big thanks to Director of Mentor Tech, Corey Powell. So, a big show for us today.
It's been pretty full, but it's been good. Lots of information for you guys out there. You guys are getting your money's worth.
It's going well. You know, 8 to 9 a.m. if you're driving in or you're listening on the computer, you're definitely getting a full wall-to-wall show of information.
And you know, this is information I wish I had as a freshman, like information on where to live and student business services and all that stuff. That's so stressful, or it was for me.
I honestly, when I registered for classes, because once I found out I was a tech, the next step is, okay, you got to get your housing squared away. And I kind of knew where my dorm was, but really didn't. So I was kind of lucky that it was close to the old MassCom building, that it worked out, because all my classes were on that side of the campus. And when I was a freshman and a sophomore, and then, you know, of course, moved off campus after my sophomore year and got into an apartment. And that worked out because then the college moved over to where we are now. And this is closer to where I live. So it kind of works out.
I'm so glad that worked out for you. See, when I was a freshman, I got into the mass communications learning community. And those are the meaning learning communities are great. But honestly, for some reason, mass communications communications people were just a little bit antisocial. Like, I would walk out into the hall, and it's weird, we're in communications, guys, this is what we do, but I would walk out into the hall and you'd see like a head pop out of a door, and then you just like wave at them and it'd pop back in. It was strange, but hey, and then I was living over in Gates, which is where the learning community was, but that was like halfway across campus from the Mass Comm school, or the old Mass Comm school.
Exactly.
But hey, what the heck?
And then, of course, there's dining on campus and all that stuff. Kara, did you live on campus at any point?
No, thank goodness I never had to. Not
thank goodness.
That's a bad thing. If you have to live on campus, that's fine.
Good save.
But I came here as a transfer student, not as a freshman. So I lived in a house with a dreadful roommate and didn't do that again. So that was my first year here at Tech.
Did you know who you were rooming with, or was it potluck housing?
We were friends from high school, but we hadn't talked to each other in 4 years.
Oh,
we weren't the same people, and it was not a good meshing of personalities. Let's just say that.
Well, that's a bummer. Yeah, going potluck can be fun, and you know, going with friends can be fun, but it's always a toss-up, no matter who you're going with.
Well, what I'll say about that is, some people say, well, you know, potluck isn't the way to go because you don't know who you're going to room with, you don't know who it's going to be. But then, you know, one of my friends had a potluck roommate, and he didn't know he was, and now he's one of his best friends. So it works out. It works out sometimes. And then, of course, there are the horror stories that don't work out, but that's just
Well, I hated my roommate now for the first year before we lived together. We didn't like each other. We didn't think we were friends, but now we're best friends. We're best buddies, so... It, you know, you can turn it around.
That was pretty cool. I wouldn't know about that. First year, I knew my roommate literally since the day we were born. We're God brothers. We went to the same high school, same church, same college. So I really lucked out with that. So that was cool. But I had another friend who he didn't even know he was supposed to sign up for student housing. It was 2 weeks before school started, and he wasn't in a dorm yet. He calls me up. He's like, Kevin, where do I go when I get there? You know, did they sign me up for a dorm? I don't know where to go. I'm like, dude, you're supposed to do that like months ago.
I feel bad for him because I did the same thing 2 summers ago. I waited until like a month before I was supposed to go back to school, and my dad found me a little shack in the back house. It was pretty awful. It was not good.
That is why we bring you this information, ladies and gentlemen, so that you do not have to go through these horror stories that we are talking about. We are here for you.
I did appreciate Amy Baffert coming over from Career Center. I thought we learned quite a bit about our resumes and what to put in a cover letter, what not to put in a cover letter. And, of course, for students in the Media and Communication College, you can go down to the first floor. You can visit Elisa Ross, who's our in-house Career Center advisor, and she can help with finding an internship. Now, granted, she's not going to get you an internship or job. She'll help you get in contact with said people. But a great in-house service from Elisa Ross. And, of course, you can go over to the main Career Center as well.
Do you guys have any tips on people getting a job or worst experiences to help avoid?
I would say just keep applying. And that's been my thing this semester. It's just been keep applying. Some people say to, like, email them back the next week, but I see that kind of as badgering them. But I keep applying. I mean, that's my biggest thing. And make sure that once you send an email that everything is attached, so you don't have to send like a second email with the rest of your attachments.
Well, my biggest thing is when you're in the interview, don't overshare. They don't want to know your life story. They don't care. Just are you going to do the job
well? When I was 3 years old, I dreamed to be a journalist. When I was 5 years old, I dreamed of being a sports broadcaster. When I was 7...
Yeah, I'm bored already. Thanks, okay. Josh. Yeah, that's definitely the thing, because the one thing they tell you is to get that 60 to 90 second elevator speech down. Is if you met the CEO of the company that you wanted to work for, you got in an elevator with him, what would you tell him before he got out of the elevator? And that's how they kind of coach you.
And the other big thing right now, social media. What are you putting on your Facebook? Because people are checking that.
That's true.
If you're putting your life story out there and it ain't good, you're not going to get the job.
And I completely agree that I see it every weekend. And it's like you see pictures and you see pictures of parties and people doing things. And you're like, do you know that you got to get a job here like in 3 years? If I'm an employer and I see you... Oh, I don't know, doing a keg stand or something. I'm gonna maybe not. I think it's kind of bad. It's kind of bad to judge that way, but that's just the way it is.
At my previous job, to this, we would go through after they had come in, you know, done the interview, and we would go to our Facebook, and our news director at the time would always laugh at us. But the minute we started pulling up all of these pictures, it was just hysterical how people got eliminated almost right off the bat. I was like, you're done.
Like,
you're
out. Nope,
thanks
nope.
for applying.
Well, hey, one more thing that I would say to people going into an interview is be ready for them to ask you, do you have questions for me? Because, like, that's the biggest thing. My first interview, and they said, do you have any questions for us? I was just like, what?
Yeah,
you want me to ask questions?
Yeah, you don't know what to ask. I mean, it's like, you're not going to ask a question. Oh, how much am I getting paid? Nope, not going to do it. Not going to ask that question on interview number one, because that'll be your last interview. Appreciate all of our guests this morning on Good Morning Texas Tech. Of course, you can listen to us every Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 9 a.m. on KTXT, the Raider 88.1, also on KTXTFM.org. We'll see you Monday morning.
Temperatures in the 80s across the city of Lubbock this afternoon. Another very warm day across the South Plains. A little bit breezy as well. Winds gusting over 25 miles per hour. Maybe a few very isolated patches of blowing dust, mainly west of the city of Lubbock. Very nice in town. Mostly sunny skies, though there are a few high clouds that continue to stream over the South Plains and will continue to do so as we head later into the evening as temperatures fall back into the lower 70s and 60s, down into the 50s to begin your Tuesday morning with yet another warm day. For KTXT Weather, I'm Cutter Martin. throwing you back to the music.
Roll out of bed and listen to our morning show, Good Morning Texas Tech. You can listen in live at ktxtfm.org or on your radio, 8 to 9 a.m. Mondays and Wednesdays. Tune in, learn a little, and laugh a lot.